Yes, you are listening to RDU 98.5. Well, like I said earlier, it is indeed Christchurch East Week. And I'm absolutely delighted to have in the studio with me right now, Labour's candidate for Christchurch East, Reuben Davidson. Good morning.
Morena, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well also.
Good, good. How's the campaign going so far?
The campaign's going very well. It's busy.
Mm.
There's a lot to do. There's a lot of people to talk to. But I'm having a lot of really positive conversations.
Cool.
Connecting with a lot of groups in the community who do extraordinary things every day.
Mm.
And the ability just to have those conversations and see the work that goes on and the difference that makes, and then get a really good understanding of how that can be supported. Excuse me, and how that can be allowed to grow.
So, yeah, right.
That for me has been a really great experience to be getting around and seeing that in action.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, I'm just going to start this interview as I've done with many of the MPs, and simply ask, tell me a bit about yourself. How do you get into politics?
Yeah, sure. So I started getting involved in politics probably when I was at high school.
Oh, yeah.
So, although, actually, if you go back a little bit before then, I've got quite a large family of siblings, half-brothers, half-sisters, step-brothers. So probably if I look back retrospectively, there was a little bit of a coalition happening quite early on. So there was often some, negotiations, and I kind of fell somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, right.
So definitely not Switzerland, but certainly able to kind of negotiate all sorts of things, whether it was who sat where at the dinner table or who got which seat in the car.
Good practice.
So yeah, there was a little bit of diplomacy required there. and then at high school I got a bit more involved in the kind of structured political world. I was elected onto the Board of Trustees as the student representative, and banned smoking at school.
Oh my gosh.
So, because there was this rule, right, where teachers could smoke, but students couldn't.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, I was kind of down the road of, look, if it's, we should really have one rule here.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And so, I was really popular with the smoking teachers after we got that one over the line, as you can imagine. but then I studied just not too far from here at the New Zealand Broadcasting School, which was at Polytech then, now Utter.
Oh, yes.
So I did a 3-year degree there, graduated in 99 and moved up to Auckland, worked for TVNZ for 4 or 5 years, came back to Christchurch, worked in our family business, which was under the Red Veranda Cafe.
I know.
So worked there for a couple of years, and then I got involved back into the world of television. That was 18 and a half years at Whitebait Media, producing shows like What Now? So This Morning was a sleep-in for me.
Easy.
Brainbusters, Fanimals, the Adam and Eve show. So, yeah, creating and producing shows like that and getting more and more involved in work at an organisation and sort of advocacy level within the Labour Party, within local body politics, and also within the screen sector. I guess whatever activity I do, I do tend to also get involved in the organisational advocacy and governance aspects of it.
Yeah, right. It's a good track to have, actually. So, quite the life you've lived. Now, you're running in Christchurch East, and with that, obviously, probably comes a lot of campaigning in Christchurch East.
Definitely.
So, tell me, what do you think are kind of the biggest challenges facing that electorate?
Yeah, sure. So there's a real sense in Christchurch East that we still haven't got back to what we had before the earthquake.
Right.
So Christchurch East was particularly affected. We have a large section of red zone that sits right in Christchurch East. A lot of people had to move out of the area. 8 schools were closed down by the then national government in Christchurch East.
Oh, wow.
That has a really, really big effect, not just on where kids go to school, but on how kids go to school. So all of a sudden you see that social interaction, which at its heart is community, is really impacted when kids can't scooter or ride their bikes to school, when parents don't chat on the street on their way, when the local businesses don't get the custom because people are in cars or on buses. So there really is a sense that that the community in Christchurch East was impacted really heavily by earthquakes, and that there's still some ways to go to getting things back to how they were.
Yeah, right.
And some of that's, you know, as simple as you would think, getting a footpath right so you can safely use it. But a lot of that too is about working alongside amazing community groups that we've got right across Christchurch East, who are making sure that those communities are supported and enabled to function the way good communities do. There's just such a big number of groups doing amazing work in that space. And so, yeah, for me, I guess those three things are roading and infrastructure, getting it back to a good standard for locals, schools and supporting them, and working and partnering with communities to make sure that they are engaged and all they can be.
I'm glad you've mentioned the earthquake, because it's been 12 years now.
Mm.
There must be people in that electorate who are rolling their eyes a little bit, going, oh, it's just another election. What's going to change? Nothing's changed in the last 12 years. What is going to change now? What would you kind of say to those people?
I think there's probably the simplest way for me to characterise how much is at stake in this election is to remind... I mean, I've got really, really vivid memories of not just the earthquake, but of the leadership afterwards, and of the way that we were treated, where it was very top-down, Wellington-led, and we were told what was going to happen and how it was going to happen.
Yeah.
We had these amazing opportunities to come and share ideas, literally, that's what it was called. Post-its everywhere, Horncastle Arena, full of incredible ideas of how local people wanted to reshape and reform Christchurch.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And then a very aptly named blueprint came from the national government out of Wellington, and all of a sudden we saw things like, oh, our town hall's apparently going to disappear. This incredible building that Christchurch residents paid for is apparently, you know, someone in Wellington, Jerry, doesn't like it, so it's going to disappear. Luckily, we fought back. And you know, the town hall's restored, and what an incredible building, and aren't we lucky to have been able to keep it, but not without one hell of a fight.
Yeah, right.
If you contrast that to the response that we've seen in the North Island recently with the impacts of the flooding in Auckland and Cyclone Gabrielle, and the immediate response from central government and from Chris Hipkins a week into the job as Prime Minister, his ability to step in there and see exactly what those communities need, put dedicated ministers into place, have local MPs empowered and connected with local government and local body agencies, and make sure that communication is really clear, really fast, and that people understand that help is on its way and that government will partner with them to make that happen. I think if you just look at the differences between those two approaches, to me that's a really clear way to sum up, this is the way a country operates in bad times under a national government, and this is the way a country operates under bad times under a Labour government.
Yeah, right,
and I know, right. I'm obviously very biased, but I know what I would prefer, and I also know what I think is best for Christchurch East, and that's definitely a strong Labour-led government.
Well said. Another thing about Christchurch East is it's very diverse in a number of ways. And at one end, people's biggest issue is this, and another end, people's biggest issue is something completely different. How do you kind of address such a huge array of issues?
Yeah. I mean, it might sound like a cliche, and hopefully it doesn't sound like something out of a self-help book, because I know that you're not a fan of those. but I can understand that, but the potato thing, I just can't understand.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought that would
weird. Yeah, the potato. I mean, potatoes are so diverse.
Don't twist this on me now.
I think that our difference in Christchurch East, I think our differences bring us together. So nice. There is such a huge range of just about every measure, you know, like you can go, wow, we go from one end of the spectrum to the other in just about every measure across Christchurch East. But that is why a lot of people choose to live there, because it is a diverse community. There's a lot of energy, there's a lot of great engagement in activities, and you can, I think it's that range and diversity of the place that gives all of the different suburbs that, you know, the specific energy and buzz that they have, and that's what makes it great to be part of that community.
Another thing about Christchurch East is it's got a lot of coastline. Areas of it can be particularly flood prone. And Labor has announced heaps in regards to environmental or climate change policy at this point.
Sorry, did you say has or hasn't?
Hasn't,
okay, yep.
How will kind of issues like that, and they're becoming very current issues, and Christchurch East is by no means alone in this, but how do you address issues of climate change where it concerns people's livelihoods and their houses?
Sure. And I think there's kind of two parts to that question, because I think there's the what are you doing at a central government level around things like transport, emissions, regulation, to address the bigger issue of climate change and how we adapt to make sure that our contribution to it is reduced, if not completely, you know, offset. And I'm really proud of the steps that we've taken. And I know, you know, people, it's quite easy to say, oh, you know, you haven't done enough in that space. But we've done a really big amount in making it easier to reduce emissions. So, you know, the subsidies on electric vehicles, the investment in and subsidy of public transport, the targets to rapidly get us to 100% renewable energy. So I think those things are all big steps in that space, at a central level, a central government level, really positive ways that we can make sure that New Zealand is on track to manage our impact. I think at a local level, the solutions do need to be local. People need to, we need to work together in that, and we need to bring people with us. It would be, I think, unacceptable to ride into town and say, okay, we can't have houses here anymore. We're going to do this over here. We're going to do that there. I've had the opportunity through my local body role to work with the Coastal Hazards Adaptation Working Group, and that process has been really, really beneficial in that it's identified specific areas, and then it's met with community at all levels, so in school, at weekend sessions, and it's really started those conversations around what's going to be affected here, how might we address that, and so that people are involved from the beginning of that process, and are able to identify what their priorities are in that space. And I think that's been really beneficial. I've also met quite recently with some of the South Shore Residents Association team, and their point there too was a really valid one. Yes, they're coastal, right, and they're a little spit, and you go up the hill and look down and you think, wow, that's that thin little finger of houses that sit right on the, you know, on the coast and with an estuary behind. But as far as where they sit level wise there's actually some parts of Christchurch that are much lower than South Shore.
Wow, interesting.
So, you know, and there is some flooding that we see in other parts of Christchurch East that are, you know, on the edge of the central city, are sitting significantly lower than others. So it's a little bit of perception versus reality as well.
Not to say that
we're not, there's some very real issues that we need to deal with there, but I think we need to do it in a really evidence-based way so that we do address the areas that are going to be affected first.
Very interesting, actually. Yeah, Christchurch. Funny wee place, old Christchurch. I want to twist it a bit more positive now to round us out.
Sure.
We've talked about the challenges facing your electorate in Christchurch East. What about the opportunities? Where do you think the greatest gains can be made?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think what we're seeing at the moment is a lot of housing being built back into Christchurch East. And I think there's a lot of optimism about what that might look like in a year or two.
With
you know, greater numbers of people being able to move into the area. And with that comes all sorts of other positives. So that for me is around, you know, the call that I hear from a lot of people is they want to make sure that as well as building houses, we're building communities. And I think that's definitely what we're going to see in a number of places is that having another 100 people living in this part might mean that there can be another cafe, or might mean that the dairy can, you know, be a bit better, or that, or have a slightly larger client base. So there's a lot of people who think who are really positive about what that might look like. I think also that we see things in New Brighton, like He Puna Taimoana. You've been and sat in the hot water there.
You know what? I still haven't gone. Shocking, I know.
It's amazing, and it, you know, like you literally can sit in hot water and stare out at the ocean. And it's really, really well managed. It's you've got to book in advance to get in. It's really popular.
Yeah, that's good,
though. But I think having some facilities like that in different parts of our community works really well too, because yes, it brings people into the area, and that's a positive. But also, you know, if I'm sitting in the hot water at Hapuna Taimoana, which I do, you know, about once every couple of weeks, try to get there. The number of local people who come along and families too, and who are sitting there and thinking, this is bloody great to have something like this in our neighbourhood
that
we can enjoy. And so I think facilities like that are good for the city, but are also really good for local communities and for bringing people together, are really important. And there's some development planned for the Brighton Mall as well, so trying to activate that space a little more, make sure that it gets a little less impacted by the easterly and has some, you know, outdoor staging and performance potential there. And I think ideas like that and community-led initiatives that activate spaces will continue to be a really positive thing for Christchurch East.
Yeah. I remember when I was a child, we lived over New Brighton Way, and I just loved hanging out in New Brighton. It was so much fun. Finally, after a long, hard day of being on boards and managing many, many people, you come home, you want to wind down. What music are you listening to?
Oh, wow. That's a good question, and a surprise question. So if I ultimately want to wind down, then I always go for vinyl, because it's finite. Yeah. You know, like you put it on and you
totally,
know it's
going to,
and it's in the order that the artist intended.
I'm so big on this, the whole order, the, yeah.
Yeah, rather than you know, Spotify second guessing you. So I definitely like to put on some vinyl and listen to a record at the end of the day. And at the moment, and this is great because I get to do a plug as well, at the moment I've been listening to a great album, which is by my brother and Troy Kingy. So they did an album together, Delaney Davidson and Troy Kingy did an album together, and I've been listening to that a lot. And really enjoying that. And coincidentally, my brother Delaney Davidson is doing a fundraising concert for my campaign, which is awesome. So he's touring through Oz at the moment, but he gets back, he's doing a gig at St. Faith's in New Brighton, which is a beautifully restored church, and that'll be on Saturday the 23rd of this month at 4 p.m. and tickets are on Humanitix, and you haven't stopped me now, so I'll just keep playing. That'll be a really nice, we're calling it a late matinee, so it's 4 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. Really nice
classy,
time
classy,
so you can you can enjoy that concert, and then you can head down the road, book into He Puna Taimoana,
have
a soak as the sun sets, you know. So there's definitely but to come back to the nub of your question, that's the music that I've been listening to. The other album that I have been listening to a lot is Debut by Björk, because it's one of those albums that was really a big, like, I over listened to it when it came out, which would have been when I was probably finishing up high school, and then I rediscovered it again recently, and I was like, wow, this is a really good album. So I've been listening to that again and just thinking I really enjoy that.
Oh, some great selections there, very well done. Hey Ruben, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. And it's really great to hear your thoughts, and cool to see someone so passionate for the East as well. So good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you. And don't give up on the potato, Liam. Like, I don't think you can rule the potato out.
Maybe I'll give it another go.
Yeah, do.